Well, good morning. I would encourage you to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Welcome to our assembly this morning. We have a number of first-time visitors in our building. We're delighted that you are here. Welcome to all those who are visiting with us via Zoom. This year at Annandale, we are thinking about the theme of drawing near to God with a sincere heart. And as we think about the nature of God and the nature of our drawing near to Him with a sincere heart, we are thinking about thinking spiritually. And as we think about the concept of thinking spiritually, we want to begin by understanding that thinking spiritually is a learned behavior. And so from the beginning, Adam and Eve had to learn to think spiritually. You and I have to learn to think spiritually. From the beginning, God has been communicating the need for us to understand the differences between those things that are of a material nature, a physical nature, a fleshly nature, and those things that are of a spiritual nature. And so by definition, nature has to do with the essential qualities that define something as to the kind of thing that it is. And so Jesus would say to us in John 4:24, for example, that God is spirit. The essential qualities that define God, the type of being or the kind of being that he is that God is spirit. So this morning, as we continue to seek to learn to think spiritually, as we continue to seek to draw near to the God who is spirit with a sincere heart, I want us to think for a few minutes about the idea of learning to think spiritually from Jesus. And I want to encourage you to learn to think spiritually from Jesus. I want to encourage you to encourage your children to learn to think spiritually from Jesus. As a church, we want to encourage one another individually to learn to think spiritually from Jesus. And as I think about this practice, this behavior, this exercise, we learn from Jesus's teaching, but we also learn from Jesus's example, and we also learn from Jesus's person. So by way of introduction, when we think about as individuals learning to think spiritually from Jesus, we want to learn from his teaching. We want to learn from his example, but we also want to learn from his person. Who is this Jesus? Why did he do what he did? And what can we learn from his teaching? And so by way of encouragement this morning, I want us to think about a good exercise, a good exercise that will help me, that will help you, that you can do, that I can do, that individually we can do, that will help us to learn to think spiritually, specifically from Jesus. And so the exercise is simply reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, from a red letter edition or a words of Christ in red version of the Bible. I include both of those there because I've been searching at different times for a red letter edition and nothing was coming up because now, more often than not, the red letter editions that I grew up with are referred to as editions that have the words of Christ in red. And so I have a number of Bibles, you know, in my library, and some of them are red letter editions. Some of them are words of Christ in red. Every word of God's word is important. By encouraging you to participate in this exercise, all I'm doing in that is encouraging you to learn from Jesus. There are lessons that we need to learn from Genesis to Revelation. There are examples that we need to see from Genesis to Revelation. There are other people that we need to see and understand. But within the context of learning to think spiritually, we're talking about an exercise this morning that we can do in which we learn to think spiritually from Jesus himself. It takes approximately 8.5 hours to read the Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It takes considerably less time to read the Gospels if you only read the red letters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so this morning, I thought about just starting in Matthew and working our way through some of the red letters of Matthew's Gospel. And then I looked at Mark and I thought, well, this would be a good place to start as well. And I thought about Luke and the first things that Jesus says in each of those and then going to the next. But I have chosen only to look at the Gospel of John this morning. And so that's what we're going to spend our time doing this morning. We're going to spend our time in the Gospel of John, and we're going to work on this little exercise together, and we're going to develop the concept of learning to think spiritually from Jesus together. And we're going to conclude by encouraging each other to do this on a daily basis. And I'm going to preach a little bit at the end. So in John chapter 1, the first words of Jesus in the Gospel of John are found in verse 38. And Jesus literally says in that verse a question: what do you seek? And I love that within the context of our theme this year. I love that in the context of our lesson this morning, because when we talk about drawing near to God with a sincere heart, that's the only way that you can acceptably draw near to him, with a sincere heart. If you're going to draw near to the God who is spirit, you have to really mean it. It has to be something that you are doing from your heart. And so for Jesus to set the tone of the Gospel of John by asking specific individuals in a specific context the question, what are you seeking? You know, by way of our thinking this morning, what are you seeking? Is your mind set on the material, the physical, the fleshly? Or is your mind set on things that are above? Is your mind set on knowing the God who is spirit? Is that the sincere desire of your heart? If so, within the context of our using that question, In the context of learning to think spiritually from Jesus, look at what he says in verse 39, the second red letter statement in John's Gospel. Come and see. And from the beginning, God has been inviting his image bearers to do just that, to come and see. You want to draw near to me? You want to know me? You want to understand me? You want to have a relationship with me? Come and see. But when you come, you draw near with a sincere heart. In chapter 3 of John's Gospel, we have teaching of Jesus. And so we can learn from his teaching in John 3. But we also have information from Jesus about his person. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, which is a fancy word for teacher. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And the signs that Nicodemus is speaking of are in reference to the signs, wonders, and miracles that Jesus had been doing at this point. And we read about the water being turned into wine in John 2, 1 through 12. We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to this ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, He cannot see the kingdom of God. And so what we see in verse 4 is ourselves. What we see in verse 4 is Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve from the beginning, they had to learn to think spiritually. They had to learn to make distinctions between birth that was of a physical nature and new birth that is of a spiritual nature. And so Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? What is Nicodemus thinking about? He's thinking about the material, the physical, the fleshly. And Jesus answers and says to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then Jesus draws a distinction between the flesh and the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. In other words, Nicodemus, you need to learn to think spiritually. Don't marvel at this. Learn, grow, understand. The wind blows where it wishes and you can hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, and I can just see him at this point. Because I've done this in conversations with people that have tried to instruct me about things that I didn't understand. Nicodemus at this point just kind of throws his hands up and he says, well, how can these things be? I don't understand. So Jesus says, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Teachers need to be taught. Adam and Eve needed to be taught. Nicodemus needed to be taught. You and me need to be taught. And Jesus is the master teacher. So Jesus says in verse 11, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know. Anytime I teach or preach, that's all I say. I just talk about things I know. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and we testify what we have seen. And you do not receive, notice what Jesus says in verse 11, our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Jesus drawing contrast here between the material and the spiritual, the fleshly and the spiritual, the flesh and the spirit, between the things that are of the earth and things that are of heaven. No one, verse 13, has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Jesus goes from teaching to talking about his person. Then he uses an example from the time of Moses and the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21, to be specific. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, a contrast between fleshly, material, earthly life and eternal life, life without end. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to learn to think spiritually, and a good exercise that we can do that will help us to learn to think spiritually is to learn to think spiritually from Jesus. In the red letters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can look at what Jesus said and you can learn from his teaching. Sometimes Jesus talks about things that he is himself is doing, and you can learn from his example, and you can read his words, and you can learn from him about his person. He speaks of himself in John, the third chapter, as the Son of Man, as the Son of God. He points us back to events in the Old Testament. He points us back to heaven itself, and he uses a very interesting personal pronoun in chapter 3, verse 11, our. As we continue reading through the Gospel of John, we come to chapter 4, and Jesus is in a city of Samaria, verse 5. And he's near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well is there, and Jacob's well is a literal well from which one could draw water, H2O. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, verse 7, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone into the city to buy food, to buy material, physical food that could be eaten, consumed bodily, physically. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And there we learned something about Jesus' example. As he's talking to folks there. He's talking to a woman in the first century that Jews didn't normally have dealings with, a Samaritan woman. Jesus answered and said to her, verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Okay, well now Jesus is talking about spiritual water. But he's also talking about himself. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? In other words, who are you? Who do you think you are? Do you think that you're greater than Jacob? I mean, Jacob lived a long time ago. I mean, Jacob lived in the days of the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible. And here we are, 39 books later, 39 Old Testament books later, and we still know where Jacob's well is. We still believe that Jacob was a historical person, that the events that we read about in Genesis, we know where we are and we know who Jacob is. Who are you? And what are you talking about? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And I love her response. Her response is, I don't understand everything that you said. Could you explain it some more to me? Her response is, sir, give me this water that I may thirst and never come back here to draw. Jesus changes the subject in verse 16, and then she changes the subject in verses 19 and 20. And then Jesus speaks of the difference between worshiping in a physical place like Jerusalem, in a physical temple like Solomon's temple, Herod's temple in the city of Jerusalem. And he makes the point in verse 24 that God is spirit, and that acceptable worship, the worship that the Father is seeking, is in spirit and in truth. So now she has some insight into who this may be. She says, verse 25, I know that Messiah is coming. I know that the anointed is coming. I know that the Christ is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all these things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am. And if you use a New King James Version of the Bible, you'll notice that in the red letters there in verse 26, the word he is in italics, meaning that it's been inserted by the translation committee. It's not necessarily in the text of the Greek language that the Spirit inspired the gospel of John to be written in, the Apostle John to write in. And so what Jesus is literally saying in John 4, verse 26 is, I who speak to you am. And that will become much more significant as Jesus teaches in John the 8th chapter. And so in verse 27, after all these things, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? They're trying to understand his example in this moment. They're trying to reconcile why he was doing this, but they weren't talking to him about it. You ever been there? I've been there. I've been there where I wondered why people were doing what they're doing and just didn't say anything about it, just kind of marveled at it. That's what they're doing. And we do that today, and they did that then, because from the beginning, we all do it the same. We were created by God in His image from the beginning, and we have all descended from Genesis 3:20. Eve, the mother of all the living. And so these people, just because they lived 2,000 years ago, they're just like us. They just didn't have Zoom and an iPhone and automobiles. But human nature is the same from the beginning, beloved. Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they went out of the city and they came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, your physical man is in need of physical nourishment. Jesus, you are a man. And if you are going to continue to teach and preach the gospel of the kingdom, then you need to eat. You need to sustain your physical man. Rabbi, eat. Jesus said to them in verse 32, you boys need to learn to think spiritually. There is a difference between one's physical man and one's spiritual man. And I have food to eat of which you don't know. If we had begun in Matthew's gospel, we would have read about Jesus' example in being baptized by John, because it was to fulfill all righteousness, because the gospel, the baptism of John was God's will. And so Jesus obeyed God's will. And then immediately after Jesus obeys God's will in Matthew's gospel, he goes into the wilderness as he is driven there by the Holy Spirit. He is tempted by the devil. And in the first temptation, Jesus says to the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus said to them in verse 32, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Verse 33, they're thinking materially. They're thinking physically. They're thinking fleshly. And so they look at each other and they say, well, have any of you guys already brought him something to eat? What's going on here? I mean, they were always so competitive with each other right up until his death. And, you know, who did it? Who got him something to eat before the rest of us? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? He's using a physical, material, fleshly example to communicate a spiritual truth. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And the field that he was calling them to look towards, to see that the harvest was white and it was ready. Were all of these people that this Samaritan woman had brought to Jesus because of a conversation that he had with her that other Jews would have never had with her? He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. And the disciples were going to have to spend some time thinking about that. Thinking about what Jesus meant, what his example meant in John 4, what his teaching meant in John 4. They were going to have to think more about his person, which takes us to the final chapter I want us to consider today, this morning, as we practice this exercise together to help us individually to learn to think spiritually from Jesus, is John chapter 6. And so in John chapter 6, we have the account in verses 1 through 14. Of Jesus feeding the 5,000. He materially, physically, fleshly fed 5,000 plus women and children. He performed this great miracle to satisfy the material, physical, fleshly need of this great multitude that had been following him. And so because of who Jesus is, Chapter 6, verse 15, he perceived something that only he could perceive. So he ultimately walks on the water, and he assures his disciples who are in this boat crossing the sea that they have nothing to be afraid of because of who he is. It is I, verse 20, do not be afraid. And so the following day, we have this great scene where those who had their bellies filled with the loaves and the fishes, they don't understand how Jesus got from where he was to where he is now, and why there is all this secrecy and mystery to it all. And so Jesus says to them in verse 26, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Jesus is teaching them to discern between things that are of the material and things that are spiritual. Jesus speaks to them about his person. They say to him in verse 28, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore, they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Verse 31, a allusion to and a quotation from Exodus chapter 16 and following. So Jesus responds to that in verse 32, and he says, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. It wasn't within Moses' person and within his power to call down bread from heaven. The person who gave you the bread from heaven was my Father. Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. My Father was responsible for the manna in the wilderness, and my Father is responsible for my being here now. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Contrast between things that are of the world and things that are of heaven. Contrast between origins. And so they said to him in verse 34, the same thing that the woman said to him at the well, the Samaritan woman, about the water. Oh, I'd like to have a glass of that. Maybe a gallon of it. You know, maybe take some of that home with me. Okay, Jesus, we'll have that always. We'll have that bread always then. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Jesus wasn't literally bread. Jesus is speaking figuratively here. He is calling them to learn to think spiritually. They are so fixated on the things of this world, on the things of the flesh. They are so fixated on the free meal that Jesus had provided them in John 6 that they're just beside themselves that they can't find him. And because of who Jesus is, he says to them, look, I know why you're here. It's not because you seek me. It's because you seek the bread that I fed you. Well, here's what you need to know about me. I am the bread of life. And that is why it is so important for you to seek me and not the physical bread that I fed you. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. If we had begun in the Gospel of Matthew, then we would have heard Jesus say, blessed are the poor in spirit. There's a poverty of the physical and the material. There is a spiritual poverty. We would have heard Jesus say in Matthew's Gospel, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There is a physical hunger and a physical thirst. There is a spiritual hunger. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They understood this much. They understood that Jesus was speaking of his origin. And that Jesus was saying to them, my origin is different than your origin. You are from below and I am from above. I have come down from heaven, the Son of Man, the Son of God. So they said in verse 42, is this not Jesus? Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? This is why, beloved, it is so important that we learn to think spiritually from Jesus concerning his person. What did he say about himself? How are we to understand who Jesus is? Let Jesus speak for himself. Read the red letters of Jesus. Read the words of Christ in red and see what Jesus has to say about himself. Is this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Indeed. But this Jesus is more than meets the eye. That is why he would say, I've come down from heaven. So here's how Jesus responds to that. Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets. Chapter 6, verse 45, Isaiah 54, 13. And they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. In plain language, Jesus is saying to them in verse 46, I have seen the Father because I came from the Father. You need to learn about my person. You need to learn who I am. You need to come to understand who I am. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. He could have added there in verse 49, you ate the loaves and the fishes in chapter 6. You too will die. You're going to die too. We only sustain ourselves with sustenance. We only prolong our life on earth, but there is another life that will begin on the last day, an everlasting life. And as we make preparation for that last day and everlasting life, we need to learn to think spiritually from Jesus, from his teaching and from his example and from his person. And so he says in verse 50, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And then they said in verse 52, as they're quarreling among themselves, how can this man give his flesh to eat? That's cannibalism. And from the beginning, that's been frowned upon. And so how can this teaching of Jesus be? Most assuredly, I say to you, verse 53, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. The Spirit tells us in verse 59 that Jesus, these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And then we're given some insight into how this teaching was received beginning in verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And I read chapter 6, verses 52 through 59, and I think to myself, that's a hard saying. Who can understand that? I mean, what in the world is he talking about? What does that mean? How am I to understand what Jesus is saying in those verses about eating his flesh and drinking his blood? And so in verse 60, they had the same response to it that I had the first time I read it, and that I have from time to time when I read that text. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Does this make you stumble? To use the language of the prophets that the Spirit will apply to Jesus, am I going to be your chief cornerstone, or am I going to be your stone of stumbling? Are you going to stumble over my person and my teaching, or are you going to build your life on me, the rock? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. He knew who was drawing near to him with a sincere heart. And he knew who was those who were drawing near to him just to get their bellies full. He knew all that. And that speaks to his person. How did he know all that? Well, because of who he is. So he said to them in verse 65, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And so in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples came back and or went back and walked with him no more. And Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And if anybody ever said anything in the scriptures that I myself can hear myself saying verbatim to Jesus, it's what Simon Peter says to him in verse 68. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In other words, we don't understand everything that we have learned from your teaching. We don't understand everything that we have seen in your example. We don't yet understand everything there is to know about your person. But we know this, there's no one else. There's no one else that teaches like you, that behaves like you, that can think and say and do the things that you're doing. Also, verse 69, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thinking spiritually is a learned behavior. From the beginning, God has been communicating the need for us to understand the differences between those things that are of a material nature and those things that are of a spiritual nature. And I want to encourage you this morning to think about a good exercise that will help you to learn to think spiritually from Jesus. Read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in a red letter edition. Words of Christ in a red version of the Bible. And as you read Jesus's words, develop a good working knowledge of what Jesus said. Learn what Jesus said. And then as you develop that good working knowledge of what Jesus said, then drill down into what Jesus's words mean. Read the Gospels and learn from his teaching, learn from his example, learn from his person. In the context of our theme this year, I have some good news for you. You can learn to think spiritually from Jesus's teaching, his example, and his person any day of the week, at any time of the day, if you open your heart to his voice as you read his word. You can do this exercise this afternoon. You can do it later this evening. You can do it in the morning. You can do it any day of the week, any time of the day that you have the time to open your heart to the voice of Jesus, to see him by faith, to hear him by faith, to learn from his teaching, to learn from his example, to learn from his person. The one who came still comes. The one who spoke still speaks. Will you allow him to come into your life? Will you allow him to speak to you? By way of conclusion this morning, would you turn back with me to John chapter 1? Who is this Jesus and why does he matter? Why should I care what he said about anything? Why should I sit at his feet and learn from his teaching? Why should I pay attention to his example? Who is this Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Who is this Jesus? He is God. He is God the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, of Isaiah 7:14. He was born of a virgin. His name is called Emmanuel, God with us. This Jesus is God, the Son of God, the Son of Man, born of a woman in the fullness of the time, for the purpose of declaring God, revealing God, making God known in a way that those created in the image of God. He came to make God known in a way that men and women can understand. He came in the flesh so that we might understand the Spirit. Who is this Jesus? He is everything. And what you believe about him matters more in your life than anything else. Learn to think spiritually from him. Read his words and learn from his teaching. Learn from his example. Learn from him about his person. And when you have come to the conclusion about his person and his work that glorifies God, and you're ready to accept his invitation and to be born again of the water and the Spirit, seek one of us out, and we're happy to assist you in doing just that. We'll turn our attention now to the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And as we segue from these good thoughts about Jesus into more good thoughts about his person and his work, we will sing number 194, a song about Jesus from the Gospel of John that speaks to his person. And how we respond to his person, Jesus would say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And Jesus would have us to follow him. He would have us to believe in him. I am the way, follow me. I am the truth, believe in me. I am the life. He would have us to live in him as we sing number 194, I am the way.